hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM Shortwave.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Thursday, the 15th of May, 2008. Almost wanted to say March. Does it seem to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this year is going by rather quickly? It does to me. We're already into May of 2008. When I say that, I just feel my bones getting older and, well. Hey, look, on today's program, I've got Rafiq Jaber, or Jaber. It's actually spelled J-A-B-E-R. This is a Palestinian activist that I had a very engaging conversation with him the other day. And the more I talked to this man, the more that I understood that he was very fact-based, very, very level-headed. And he's been doing a lot, setting up workshops, organizing people, managing and training new leadership. He's a co-founder of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, United Muslim American Association. And he is steeped in the history of the Middle East. He was born in Ramallah, Palestine. And just a heads up to you folks out there, I had my programmer put up the video presentation. It's about an hour and 19 minutes long. And this is something that you will never see on the national media. Why? Because there is a concerted propaganda campaign, and it even explains in that video how things are set up and how they're done. And, of course, we had George Bush over there for the 60th anniversary, or as it was called, birthday, with Omert and the gang over there. And I'm going to play a clip of what he said in an asset, their little political body over there, the building. And, you know, there's just no sense in dealing with terrorists. There isn't one logical argument that you can give these people. And folks, if you know the history of Palestine and the conflict with Israel, this is not a conflict from Palestine with Israel. It is the occupation and the war that they've been raging and engaging in for 35 years. Unemployment rate over in Palestine, over 65%. These people are harassed, killed, their homes just obliterated. There's people dying in the streets every single day, and that's because there's an occupation going on. Now, the Gaza Strip, which is actually on the left side of Palestine, and the West Bank, the people get confused. They think the West Bank is, oh, it's on the west side. No, it's not. The West Bank is on the east side, bordering Jordan, and the Gaza Strip is actually a smaller portion, and that's located on the left side of Palestine. Well, this has been an illegal occupation, and even the UN resolution, what was the number on that one? UN Resolution 242, that basically said that Israel, you're occupying a land you shouldn't be occupying. Now, the checkpoints, the harassments, it goes on and on and on. This is, if you have an unemployment rate of 65%, how are the people supposed to eat? Oh, that's right, you starve them out. We'll be back here in just one moment, folks.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop-shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Is our guest with us? Okay, he was leaving the office and going home. Okay. Folks, as I've said before on this program, now the distinction between what we are being told is the Holy Land. Now that is a major misnomer. But assign whatever descriptions that you want. And I've said this before, Israel is a state, a nation state. It has been reported that Ahmadinejad from Iran wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map. I heard John McCain saying that again the other day. That is not what Ahmadinejad had said. What he had said was, we need to wipe Zionism off of the face of the earth. Israel is a nation state with almost 7 million people. What Israel needs to do is drop back over their own borders, quit occupying Palestine, which some would contend was stolen from the Palestinians in the first place. If you listen to true Torah-believing, and I'm talking conservative Jews, that they are not even, and this was God's punishment here, that they were sent to the four corners of the earth. They were not to have their own country until their Messiah, came. Now, the Islamic world has their Muhammad. The Christian world has Jesus Christ. And the Jews are still waiting. And that's fine. Whatever their belief system is, that is fine. They do not have regard or respect for human life. There's more than one occupation going on over in the Middle East right now. We are occupying Iraq. Now, I'll try to get some current numbers from Rafiq as to how many Palestinians have been killed since this 35-year occupation has been going on. But we've been occupying Iraq. We've killed over a million of their citizens since Gulf War I, ladies and gentlemen, and I have heard no other talk show host picking up on this information, that between Gulf War I and Gulf War I Part II, ironically, under both Bush administrations, Billy took some time off and he went over to... I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. But suffice it to say, there's been 73,000 American soldiers that are now dead because of our forays into the Middle East. George Bush wants his peace accord. He wants lasting peace in the Middle East. He wants this conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And it's the Israelis that are being attacked that they're... And George Bush is swearing to defend those poor Israelis. Well, they're being attacked the same way American soldiers are being attacked in Iraq because they're occupying. See, this is one admission that they do not and will not make. And there is a lot of speculation. John McCain, in a speech today, said that, well, you know, we're going to start bringing those troops home from the Middle East in 2013. Now, if you believe that, I have some prime real estate down in Florida. It's a little bit underwater, but hey, with the proper drought and, you know, some good topsoil thrown in there, you might be able to build a house on stilts and stay dry. There is no plan to pull out of the Middle East. We are fighting the wars by proxy for Israel, and this is going to continue. Now, I'm going to play this clip for you, and by the way, this is on republicbroadcasting.org. I'm going to play a short clip. Rafiq is waiting in the wings here. I want him to hear this before I bring him up, introduce him. And the piece is called Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land, Media in the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. I think, am I set up here ready to go? Yes, I am. Now, here is what you will not hear on mainstream media.
For Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat.
The West Bank and the Gaza Strip are under a military occupation. It's the longest military occupation in modern history. It's entering its 35th year. It's a harsh and brutal military occupation. And it's extremely violent. All the time. Life is being made unlivable for the population.
We have what is now of quite an oppressive regime in the occupied territories, where Israelis are lording it over Palestinians, usurping their territory, demolishing their homes, exerting a very severe form of military rule in order to remain there. And on the other hand, Palestinians are lashing back, trying to throw off the yoke of oppression of the Israelis.
I spent a day traveling around Gaza with a man named Jabra Washa, who's from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, and he described the situation as complete economic and social suffocation. There's no economy. The unemployment is over 60% now. Crops can't move. Thousands and thousands of acres of orchards and low-lying crops have been bulldozed and uprooted by the Israeli military. There are checkpoints everywhere. Palestinians can't get from one place to another. Drives that ordinarily would take 10 minutes now take 4 hours.
All the main access and artery roads are controlled by Israel. Anything that enters and exits the Palestinian areas is underneath their control. And so everything from getting medical help to getting education to trying to lead your daily life is at the whim of Israel.
No. By the way, this woman is asking to go home to Ramallah, ironically where my guest coming up was born.
There are hundreds of checkpoints in the West Bank. Every Palestinian has to walk through a single ride, 2-3 checkpoints. And the system of those checkpoints makes Palestinian ordinary people's life miserable.
These people are saying you need a new permit. You don't have a permit for today. You can't move across the city. They're not letting this gentleman pass. He's showing his papers, and they're just flat out telling him, you don't have the right papers. So they won't let him pass. This is his total harassment through these checkpoints.
It can even reach very immediate forms of oppression, such as not being able to leave your homes during curfew hours, as the Palestinians are forced sometimes to remain in their home day after day because the Israeli army says, we don't want you out of the house on the street. It means they can't buy food, can't send their children to school, can't walk across the street to their neighbors, can't get medical attention, can't do any of the basic things that you must leave your home to do. So that's really, that's a horrible way to live your life.
I have with me this afternoon Rafiq A. Jabber. Good afternoon, Rafiq. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. You were born in Ramallah in
right.
Palestine. You've lived in the United States since 1974, but you just didn't get out of that war-torn area. You came to the United States, and you have been active trying to educate people in this country. But, Rafiq, you have a slight problem here. We have the mainstream media that always sides with Israel, always portrays them as being the victims. And this occupation of Palestine has been going on for more than 35 years, and I have not seen any accurate numbers. And Rafiq, I wonder if you could tell our listeners if there is any count as to how many of the Palestinians have been killed because of the Israeli forces over there.
Well, it depends when you're talking. If you're talking since 1967, or if you're talking from the Intifada of 1988 or 89, or the Intifada 2000. I mean, or before that, for 60 years ago. Let's not forget, actually, the occupation of Palestine did not start 35 years ago. Actually, it started 60 years ago. 60 years ago, when the Israelis, by force, and through terror and terrorizing the communities and slaughters and many massacres committed against the Palestinians to let them flee their land, started in 1947. So we're talking about 60 years of slaughter and destruction and terror against the Palestinian people, which now they're saying that they're celebrating, as you know, the 60th birthday, or they're saying the 60th year anniversary of the establishment of this Zionist entity on Palestinian land. And a lot of people forget that. So thousands and thousands of people were killed since that. And just in the last, few months, actually, in this year alone, there's over 300 people got killed. Most of them, 80% of them are children and women. And the rest of them, and a lot, big portion of them also under 17. And very, very few of those who are fighters or from the resistance movement.
And a lot of the resistance that's going on in Palestine, we're not talking about armed resistance. We're talking about civilians hurling rocks and bottles at military personnel. And I call them the Israeli offensive forces, not defensive forces.
Right.
Because, again, I'll say that in the American media, it's the poor Israelis that are constantly being harassed and attacked by these terrorists. Children throwing a rock at a tank doesn't quite qualify as being a terrorist, but that's how it's painted in the news media. We'll take this break. We'll be right back.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul has not quit the race and is going stronger than ever. Since our last ad, Ron Paul delegates have won major victories in Missouri, Nevada, Texas, Alaska, Colorado, Louisiana, South Dakota, Minnesota, Florida, and many others. Many do not understand how the election process works. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. Ron Paul has a plan, and he wants you to become a delegate, which are first voted in county, state, and then the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win to find out more on how you can become a Ron Paul delegate in your area. That's ronpaulflags.com. Remember, buying a Ron Paul flag will keep these important ads on the air. So stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526. Buy a Ron Paul flag today.
This is the video clip that's been all over the news. Mr. Bush addressing the Knesset, or I'm sure I didn't quite put the proper drogue and pronouncement in there. But this is what he said. And, of course, the news was is how Barack Obama, Bush didn't call him out by name, but how Barack Obama responded to this.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We've heard this foolish delusion before. As Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939, an American senator declared, "Lord, if I could only have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided." We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history. Some people suggest that the United States would just break ties with Israel. All our problems in the Middle East would go away. This is a tired argument that buys into the propaganda of the enemies of peace. And America utterly rejects it. Israel's population may be just over 7 million. But when you confront terror and evil, You are 307 million strong because the United States of America stands with you.
Yeah. And this is from a guy. This is from a guy, ladies and gentlemen, that can't even say the word argument. He says argument. Rafiq, have you seen that? Have you seen that piece?
Yeah, I heard it. And actually, if he just changed the words, actually, for one thing, that there's any similarities between Hitler and anybody in the modern history after Hitler and the way they're going, I think probably Bush will be winning the first prize with that, the way it's going with these wars against the world and attacking and killing civilians because of their faith and because of their religion or because they don't agree with his philosophy. So this is exactly very similar, actually, to if he was talking about Hitler. Not the Palestinians, of course, that they, you know, they don't have any power. They are not going after anybody's borders or after any other country. And as far what he's saying, and I'm surprised a man like Bush can speak on behalf of 300 million people in America, and I know that only about 20% they support his vision or support his policies. How can he say and claim that he's speaking on behalf of 300 million people that they stand up with Israel completely? That's not true either. He does not represent the 300 million people in America. I'm one of them. He does not represent my views.
Well, he doesn't represent my views as well. And, you know, we've already had John McCain. He's the front runner for the GOP. He is slated to be Mr. Bush's replacement. But he used the word appeasement, that we are not going to appease. Now, he is claiming, and this trip for the 60th anniversary of Israel, that this he wants a Mideast peace process well underway and in place before he leaves office. And how is a peace process going to be possible when he uses words of appeasement that he's not going to appease these people that are trying to defend their homeland against this military occupation by Israeli defense forces? This is an oxymoron. This flies in the face of any sanity whatsoever. And Rafiq, I mean,
yeah. Well, let me say two points here to make. I think one, the first point, that Israel is the one does not want peace, and the Israeli leaders, not the Israeli people. Let's differentiate between the Israeli people in general and the Israeli leadership under the Zionist flag, which they believe that they are superior to any race in this world, and they have the right to slave and take anybody's land and properties without any questions asked. That's one thing that they're the ones that don't. And if we go back to the history, for instance, for the last over 30 years or 40 years, actually, that the Israelis, they refused every peace initiative was put in front of them. Until even including the Oslo Agreement, which they signed, and after they signed it, they broke it many times, starting even with Rabin, the late Rabin, the Prime Minister of Israel, that as soon as before the ink dried, actually, he broke it. He broke this, and if you remember his infamous statement when he was asked why not, abiding by the terms. And in 1994, supposed to be a Palestinian state on its way. His infamous statement was, well, dates are not sacred. Which means that we don't care about dates and we don't care about fulfilling the agreement. So they're the ones not making peace. Nobody else, actually. The Palestinians, they gave them everything they want. They gave an Oslo agreement, which is way lopsided to the Israelis. But the Israelis, every prime minister who came in after Rabin, that actually went and changed it, and he's not happy for it. And until the Oslo Agreement does not exist anymore.
All right, let's hold that right here. We'll take a break. Rafiq, and you pronounce your last name Jabber or Jabbar?
Jabber.
Jabber, okay. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, and I would invite you to go and watch on our site Peace Propaganda in the Promised Land, U.S. Media in Israeli Occupation.
Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with this. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Three million Palestinians live under illegal occupation. 75% of the Palestinian people are well below the poverty line. 65% unemployment. Freedom of movement restricted at any given turn. The contention is that these settlements, of which the Israelis are there illegally, and that is according even to the United Nations Resolution 242. They said this years ago, that we've determined that any settlements, any occupation of Palestine is exactly that, illegal occupation.
Since the Intifada number 2 began, you have a much heightened level of repression. Often, these towns or villages are surrounded by the Israeli army, and people aren't allowed to go out of their village to the next to next door. It's basically a horrendous situation. It's like living in a very big jail.
When one lives under oppression and there is no other way out and he's being violated every day by violent means, then sometimes the only way out of that situation is through violence.
And that was the from the words of a professor at the Ben-Gurion University, and he himself was a Jew. Now, Rafiq, you have said that a lot of people inside of Israel itself, a lot of Jews in Israel, do not agree with this oppressive-type military regime, and this is how this has been a dictatorship, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's been often termed a democracy or whatever they want to call themselves. This is a military junta, if you will, that has been running Israel ever since it began in 1948. And, Rafiq, you have told me that there are many Israeli Jews that are just absolutely appalled by this, but they have no control, as we have no control over our government here in this country, against what's going on in Iraq and the over a million Iraqis that are now dead. And we're not talking military combatants, we're talking women and children.
Absolutely. I think this is a good analogy, and what you said is correct. And I lived in Palestine before I came here, and I came in contact with a lot of Jews, even in the time of fresh occupation. And even some of them are military people. And a lot of them, they don't agree. Then, even then, they, which were very victorious, they did not agree with the policies and the actions that are taken by the Israeli military and the Israeli government. As far as representation, it's actually like Olmert, Ehud Olmert, who is the Prime Minister of Israel, his approval rating is down to 4%. I mean, that's how bad it is, and that's how much he does not represent the Israelis in many cases. Unfortunately, there is no other alternative than the leadership, the top leadership, who would come out and say, well, listen, enough is enough. We don't need this occupation. We need to live together as one nation and one people, and based on citizenship, not based on religion and based on a creed. And this is the only solution that's left. You know, there's no other solution. This two-state solution or this so-called Bush vision, I never knew that Bush had any vision except the murder of innocent people. That this two-state solution, it does not work. It's not going to work. You know, the only way to get out of all this mess for the best interest of the Jews and the Arabs alike is to live under one nation, all under citizenship, treated as all citizens of the state, and they can live their own culture, like we do here in America in many sense, that people, Muslims, they have their own culture, they have their own mosque, the Jews, they have their own culture, they have their own synagogue, the Christian, and different denominations, they have their own way of life, and their churches, but we all treat it as citizens, regardless of our faith and regardless of our creed. And this is the only solution that could work that in Palestine. And that's why the many Israelis, they are looking into it now. Because they keep sending them these dreams, telling them about we'll have peace. And since the Oslo Agreement signed, it's been now 14 years, or 15 almost, that there's nothing happened. The Israelis are not any safer today than they were, 14, 15, 16 years ago. The Palestinians are not any better off than they were 14, 15, 16 years ago. And so everybody's living miserable. Nobody's winning. And this is a war that's going on with this mentality that by force we can control everything. This is the mentality of Hitler, exactly, which is earlier you were talking about. This is how Hitler, he thought, because he has the raw power, that he can run over Europe and can control the world and control the people because they have the power. That did not work. And why we don't believe it today, that is not going to work today either. People in history always tried to control people through force and always ended up as a failure, complete failure. But after hundreds of thousands or millions of people have perished and miserable lives been touched, and that's the way it is. And people, they have to start thinking, have the courage. But unfortunately, we don't have the courage in this country to have the government to stand up and say, well, this is what it is. Look what Carter's saying now after he got out of office. He knew all these things before, but now because he's not in office, so he doesn't need the Jewish lobby, he doesn't need to run for an office, so he's coming out with the truth and telling, here, this is an apartheid system, which is that's what it is. We have to call it as is. Like Bush saying, we have to call things as is. This is the first thing he should remember, to call Israel as an apartheid system and has to be dismantled.
Well, when you say two-state solution, now, I wouldn't even see, and I've said this before, that there's almost, and I think Mr. Bush overstated the population, I think there's less than 7 million Israelis.
No, he's counting the Arabs in there.
He's also counting the Arabs, okay.
I suppose.
He must be, because I don't think there's 7 million, but the point is that the nation-state of Israel was created in 1948.
Right.
Now, on the religious aspect of this, I know Jews, and a lot of them in New York City, that represent an organization called Nutricarte.
Yes,
you have heard of them.
Right, I know them.
Have you spoken with them?
Oh, yeah, we spoke with them. We invited them in our conventions here in Chicago, and they were here many times, and I want them here in Chicago, and we worked together, and we talked about it very openly.
And do you know Rabbi David Yisrael Weiss?
Yes, I know him.
Okay, I know him as well. Okay, we've got a connection here.
Right. And if you mention my name, I'm sure he's going to remember from Chicago.
Okay, real good. And the next time I see the rabbi, I'll say shalom. And by the way, Rafik said hi. Okay. And we have talked. And according, and we're not talking about the Talmudist here. We're not talking about, we're talking about Torah-believing Jews, conservative Jews, that have been living in this country for many, many years. They do not seek political power per se. They do not want to special dispensations. As a matter of fact, they themselves, by their own religion, say that God himself banished the Jews, sent them to the four corners of the earth for punishment. And when their Messiah comes, that is when we are to have our nation state. We will have our Jewish state. And every year, Rafik, 10,000 of the NKUSA people, they fall out on the streets of New York City. 10,000 of them in the traditional garb. It's an impressive sight with their banners and their carefully worded and printed placards. 10,000 of them every year. And not one magazine, not one television station, local or national, will pick that up, because they themselves say that Israel should not exist today. It has not been God's word. It has not been God's promise. What we are seeing over there is a political animal that was built outside of our law.
Right. Actually, there's tens of thousands of them also in the UK and in Europe, within Torah Carta too. And the funny thing, like you said, I sometimes I look at it myself, like what you're saying, and I wonder and I ask myself, what is it that all those politicians and those who are seeking office in the United States, they have to come out, even if they're seeking a small office like a mayorship, okay, in a small town, even in a town. They have to pledge the allegiance for Israel. What is it has to do with that? And without even asking, and nobody's asking them, I think it became like a curse or maybe a cloud hanging on those people's head, and they start feeling and believing that if you do not support Israel without any question, without asking any questions, then you are doomed and you are not going to win any office and you are not going to be it. And they did scare people. They said the scare tactic. They scared people through making an example of a few politicians who stood up for freedom and for all and for the rights of the Palestinians to live free into their own state and to determine their own future. They were made, examples out of them. And I know of two of them in here in Illinois, and one of them is a good friend of mine. I think his name is probably Congressman Paul Finley. Probably heard of him. He was, after serving his community and his constituency for over 20 years in southern Illinois, which doesn't have any Jewish constituency, and there's no Muslim constituency or Arab constituency, and because he wanted to try to make peace between the Arabs and the Palestinians in 1974, and he went to Carter, was the president at that time, and tried to do that. They poured millions of dollars in against him, so it got him out of office. Now, he wrote several books. I think one of them is called Dare to Speak Out, which is a very, very excellent book. I recommend it for people to read from a former congressman. And we need to be in this country to be actually freed from this scare tactic. We have to be freed and ask freedom, because if we want to be, you know, as a free nation, we have to have a free thinking. But we cannot live as a free nation, and when we are, you know, deprived from thinking and saying what we believe is true. You can disagree with me, I could disagree with you, but once you stop people saying what they believe and what they think, then you're talking about oppressing the people, and that will lead to disasters and makes the country not working properly and would not get us anywhere. And just to conclude with this, the worst statement that came out of the mouth of Mr. Bush, when he stood up, he said, either you are with me or with them, which he's saying, the message he sent here to the to opposition, we don't need oppositions in America. You cannot oppose what I say, you cannot oppose what I do, you cannot, because if you do that, then you attack, you know, we're going to send you back like you are with them, with the Osama bin Laden and those. And this is really the most dangerous statement that ever been said in this, in any president of the United States, and it will have its effect, and it has its effect now, and will have its effect for generations to come.
It has been said, and the problem here in this country, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to invite you to take a little time out of your day. And I don't know if you've seen this production, Rafiq, Peace, Propaganda in the Promised Land, the U.S. media and the Israeli, I misspoke before, Conflict. This is a video presentation that there are Jewish scholars that have been included in this describing what's going on in Palestine. It's an hour and 19 minutes long. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'd like to see it.
Okay, it is on republicbroadcasting.org. It is in the video section under that title.
Okay.
And I would invite people to look at this, because these images you will never, ever, ever, ever see broadcast in American media. And there has been statements that anti-Semitism is on the rise worldwide. What we are actually talking about is the rise against Zionism, not the Jewish people themselves, not people of Jewish faith.
Absolutely.
Not the Jewish people. There is a recognition going on worldwide, just as has been, Rafiq, for many, many years now, that this Zionism, this political action arm, if you will, these are what people are rebelling against, and they are calling it anti-Semitism. Now, I make the differentiation between Zionism and Judaism. Any sane person on this planet would, except those that are the liars and the deceivers. When Israel spoke of the roadmap to peace, I interpret that as simply this. Any of what Israel declares to be their enemy, which is pretty much the Islamic world in the Middle East, any Islamic country, is an enemy to Israel. It is a threat to their security. Am I over-exaggerating that point?
No, you're not. Actually, the funny thing, that's what I've been saying for years, and a lot of Jews that I came across and while I'm traveling around the country here, lectured in many universities and colleges around the country about the issue of Palestine and the Islamic issues. And I met a lot of professors of Jewish faith. And they understood it. And when I showed them the documentation, because we produced a documentary also about 90 minutes, and which is that also we have interviews with Jewish people and, you know, scholars and Israelis and Arabs and so forth and so on. And when they saw some of these documentaries, they were appalled. They said, that can't be coming from Israel. That's not what with Israelis and everybody telling us in the Jewish community. And, you know, I says, well, why do you think so? And one guy, one professor, I remember that in Tennessee, and he came after the, you know, my lecture, and he says, why is that these things we don't hear from that? I says, what do you think the reason for? And he figured it out on his own. He says, well, I think because they want us to be scared all the time, so we keep supporting the Israelis, whatever they do. I says, exactly, that's what it is. That's the answer, the correct answer. The Zionist propaganda all over the world, it's a policy that has been working for them so far, that through the scare tactics, and saying that Israel will be annihilated, Israel will be destroyed, the Jewish people will be destroyed, These are propagandas, not a true. None of them is a true. But that it is to the best interest of the elite, the Israeli elite or the Zionist elite, to keep, you know, controlling the Jews around the world, is to tell them that they are the vanguard for them and the only the ones that they can protect them from another Holocaust. I don't know how that's going to work. They're going to protect how an Israeli leader in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv is going to protect a Jew in New York. I'll never understand that. But no, they keep telling them that.
And also, let me interject, my friend, that look, we're being told that if the United States withdraws from Iraq right now, that that is actually going to encourage and that is going to escalate terrorism. Now, here are people that are fighting against the U.S. occupation in Iraq right now, but we're being told by our president and presidential wannabes in this country that if we withdraw, then we will have a real threat from the Middle East on the United States that is threatening our peace and our security when they were no threat to us in the first place. We'll be right back. My guest, Rafiq Jaber, right after this.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
There is a clip, and if I can locate this, Rafiq, I want to play this on air because this is one of CNN, Wolf Blitzer, that was a member of AIPAC, which is the lobbyist, the very large lobbyist group in Washington, D.C., that he was on a panel and he was asked about the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And he was asked a specific and direct question, which he did not answer. And just to show you who is being propped up as being the white paper journalist out there and what their backgrounds are, I mean, it's just absolutely, absolutely stunning to me to see these people being propped up and being told to the American people that, you know, this is your headquarters for news and we're objective and we're going to give you the straight news. And you look at their lineage and where they came from and what they were grown from. I mean, it is absolutely incredible to see this. Now, I wanted to, let me take this caller before I proceed here. He's been holding quite some time. Rick in Ohio. Hello, Rick.
Hey, John. You got your pen handy? I want you to write down a URL for an article you need to read on the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. The address is wremea.com/back-issues/0994/940/94090.html.
Okay, what is this?
Okay, this article is written in 1994 by a Donald Neff. The headline is Truman Overrode Strong State Department Warning Against Partitioning of Palestine in 1947. September 22, 1947, Loy Henderson strongly warned Secretary of State George C. Marshall that partition of Palestine into Arab and Jewish states was not workable and would lead to untold troubles in the future. Henderson was director of the State Department's Office of Near Eastern and African Affairs, and his memorandum coming less than a month after a United Nations Special Committee had recommended partition stands as one of the most perceptive analysis of the perils that partition would bring. Henderson informed Marshall that his views were shared by nearly every member of the Foreign Service or of the department who has worked with it to any appreciable extent on Near Eastern problems. And I want to jump down here and read a little part. Let's see, just comment on it. Where is it at here?
Dead air, Rick.
Okay. Says the one of the things in the article is the pressures to which this government is now subjected are ones which impel us toward a position where we would shoulder major responsibility for the maintenance and the expansion of the Jewish state in Palestine. If we do not effect a fairly radical reversal of the trend of our policy today, we will end up either in a position of being ourselves militarily responsible for the protection of the Jewish population in Palestine against the declared hostility of the Arab world, or of sharing that responsibility with the Russians and thus assisting their installation as one of the military powers in the area. Similar views were expressed by the CIA and the Defense Department. Okay.
All right, we're running out of time.
Okay, I'll let you go. You got that URL address?
I'll tell you what, just to make sure, Manny will bring you down. He'll copy the URL, and we'll post it on the description of this program when we post it in the archives. And ladies and gentlemen, just so you're aware of this, that when we do a program, this is in the archives with descriptions 15 minutes after the show ends. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. We're speaking with Rafik Jaber today. We'll continue with your calls, second hour of this report, right after this. Men are